I want to apologize to all the ladies. Every year I have to, that we have this reading, I have to do it. Paul did not write the letter to the Ephesians. That's the majority opinion of scholars. It was written by one of his disciples, so-called Deuterosecond Pauline school. And the chances are, because it flies directly in contradiction to what Paul had said in the letter to the Galatians, that in Christ there's neither male nor female, slave, free, Greek, barbarian. So what is happening here is a sad thing that we see often going on in the church even today, an accommodation to the wider culture in its worst form, namely a patriarchal sexist culture, which certainly that was true of the Roman Empire. Women could not be educated, could not appear by themselves, could not run for office, etc., 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 etc. So because these followers of Jesus, these female followers of Jesus, behaved outside their little meetings, these little house meetings that they had, as Jesus wanted them to, they'd call the cops and draw attention to them, themselves, and so get into bigger trouble than they already were in, which is to say that they're outlaws to begin with. So, very interesting to see what kind of accommodation, bad accommodations we make to the world. Okay, so today finally we finish this large discourse in the sixth chapter of John. And it points out to something that is characteristic of the Johannine writing. People have noticed this for a long time. It is a very sophisticated writing in that the writers, and there probably were several people think as many seven editions of the Gospel of John, used a very subtle and sophisticated narrative technique, which is irony. So get this all over again. Jesus talking to Nicodemus saying, unless you're born again, Nicodemus said, how can I get born again? I'm an old man. Jesus says, the woman of the will, I am the living water. Said, oh, give me that water all the time. Jesus cures a blind man, says, I am the light of the world. And he's not Dr. Nicole running around with, you know, scalpels and stuff. Something else is going on. And it's a very clever thing because it engages the reader at a more profound level. That is to say, the Johannine Jesus constantly complained about people stopping at the surfaces of things. You have to look beyond. You have to look deeper. You have to see what's going on. So even this language gets very vivid. I mean, if you remember the last couple of weeks, the Greek verb for chew, it's chewing, gnawing, chomping on. It gets the verbs are intensified, as they said, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man. So people are saying, well, I'm not into cannibalism, so forget that. And unfortunately, we in the church are not innocent of that kind of physicalism and literalism. I remember as a little kid, my first communion vividly, the nun said, don't touch the host with your teeth. Your mouth will fill with blood. Well, besides being utter nonsense, that's a radical misunderstanding of what Jesus, of the Johannine Jesus, is about. I've been trying to think all week of analogies, and sometimes you hear in kind of goofy romantic comedy, you're so good I could just eat you. Well, this is a kind of cheesy way of getting to what we're about here. Jesus is not talking some kind of physicalist way, and maybe Thomas Aquinas' notion of transubstantiation, which is only a theological opinion, an interpretation of trying to make sense of how is Jesus present in this gesture, because that's the heart of the matter. Jesus is present in this gesture, and so theologians today are still trying to work out alternative understanding beside transubstantiation, which, by the way, you have to have a background in Aristotelian philosophy to even understand what that term means. So when Jesus said, I am the bread of life, what's he saying? That in this gesture, of my giving myself to you, which is the whole point of the gesture. I am the bread given for you. That we ally ourselves with that understanding of what it is to be a human being. One of the early fathers of the church, talking about the Eucharist, made an interesting point. He said, well, every other food that we eat turns into us, but the Eucharist is supposed to be worked exactly the opposite way, that we turn in to the Jesus who gives himself to us. So how does irony work? Well, the listeners or the readers of this stuff know that Nicodemus has it all wrong. The lady at the well has it all wrong. The blind man has it all wrong. Raises Lazarus and said, I am the resurrection of life. Jesus is not just going around resuscitating corpses. It is rather this man who was there for everybody, constantly giving himself to everybody. That's what we're supposed to see in this text. And so the reader has this kind of almost smug sense, those guys are all wrong, but I understand what's going on here, and therefore I can appropriate what is really going on here. It's a very clever technique, I think, and can be very useful as long as we don't get smug and saying, well, those poor bozos are clueless. It's precisely to identify with that stunning gesture of being available to everybody. Everybody. That's what's going on when the Johannine Jesus is made to say, I am the bread of life. You can't live without me. You really can't live as a human being without me. We're not talking about biology. We're talking about humanity.